One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome back, everybody, and time for us for our Cops Say Legalize Drugs segment. And for today's segment, we're going to be going to Canada, where we are going to get Randy Long on the line. He is a former Crown prosecutor with the federal government in Canada, and there's so many developments that we've seen recently in Canada with some court cases. Let's go to the phone line here and see if we can get him on the line. We're trying to reach Randy Long. Are you there, Randy?
It's not Randy, but I'll check for you. Can I say who's calling?
Yes, this is the Russ Belville Show. We have an interview with him scheduled.
Just a moment, please.
Thank you very much. So we'll get Randy here on the line in just a second. He's working at a business law firm right at the moment. Obviously have to get through some of the reception desks there. The most recent decision in Canada, of course, the Allard decision. Lawyer Kirk Tousaw, friend of the show.
Hey, Russ, are you there?
Hello, Randy. This is Russ. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. I forgot all about you.
I know. We were scheduled for a couple weeks ago, and we had something come up, but I'm so glad we got you back on the line. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing just great. Good to talk to you.
Well, I was telling the audience a little bit about your background as a former prosecutor for the federal government there in Canada, and there's so many changes going on in Canada right now, the most recent of which, this Allard decision with the Canadian Supreme Court. Can you give us some insight on that and how it helps Canadians?
Yeah, the insight is no more than I think what most people have, other than a bit of a shout out to the two guys, the guys being the two lawyers, John Conroy and Kirk Tousaw, are two lawyers that are in private practice and have done an amazing amount of work advancing the proposition of people's rights to use marijuana. Allard is a situation that essentially, to try and make it in brief form, but to try to make it to make sense to an American audience as well, we've got much the same kind of frequent tension between courts and legislature, and we don't quite have the same executive structure. But to put it this way, the court decided that the government needed to move on this and to do something. So the court effectively said, look, we're going to give you a break. There's a period of time. You guys are going to have to legislate a change. The thing that I particularly liked about it from a legal point of view, not the decision per se, but from a legal point of view, was the court even ordered costs against the government.
Wow, that's pretty remarkable.
So I thought it was amazing.
So now we've got a situation where, if I understand it correctly, the medical marijuana patients under Health Canada there in the country have been getting their medicine through mail order exclusively, and now they've got, this has established their right to home grow. Have I narrowed that down well enough?
Yes, and more than that, Russ. The thing is, it's gone in a series of 180 degrees. And again, what you got to know in terms of background, we've got a new federal government, and the policy on marijuana has been an absolute 180-degree change. And again, from a conceptual point of view, if you think of the guys who were in before, that is to say the Harper government, think of them as Republican light.
Okay.
If you think about the guys who are in currently, it's a little bit towards Bernie Sanders, but more towards Hillary Clinton, Democratic mainstream, our liberal government.
Mm-hmm.
What used to be in the old regime was people could grow their own, but it was limited to a certain number of plants, and there were various restrictions. The Harper government came in and said, no, 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 none of that, because that's all subject to abuse. And they came up with this regime where we had giant commercial grow shows. Now, what happened as a consequence of that is smart money saw an opportunity, and we've got a tremendous investment right now in infrastructure for major industrial growing operations. The liberals aren't sure what they're going to do, and the court has turned around and said people have a right to grow their own. So it is very much up in the air right now with, I think, some pretty strong pressure on the Liberals, being our existing federal government, to listen to the court, factor it in. Now, when you take that and put in the final factor, which is the Liberals, that is to say the federal government, are right now looking at what to do with marijuana decriminalization, and it's kind of black box, and we're working on it, it's going to be pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing, and I'm wondering about your experience as a prosecutor. Were you working during the Harper administration?
No, fortunately, I was out. I was active with previous administrations, a little more enlightened, and I would not have done well in the Harper administration because they took pretty much the Nancy Reagan view of just say no. That would have been a tough one for me, but you know, duty calls. But fortunately, I was gone.
Now, with Prime Minister Trudeau pushing for legalization throughout his campaign, it seems now that he's become elected that maybe there's a little foot dragging. He's mentioning some of the UN treaties and maybe kind of trying to temper people's enthusiasm. What do you see for the future of legalization? Is it coming anytime soon for Canada?
Well, I think it's coming inevitably. I think the people are obviously way ahead of it. I think the Prime Minister and his cabinet, the people who are involved in the decision-making, again, are going to be many and varied. But it's coming now. I guess soon is all a relative concept. It's how it's going to come is really the question. Timing. There was an announcement by Bill Blair, who's the designated, a former chief of police of Toronto. So when I say he and just the designated guy, he's recently come out saying, well, we're going to have to go ahead and just continue to enforce marijuana the way we always did until we sort this out. I don't think that's a good idea. I think I understand from a police perspective why he'd say that. But I think if we're going to take that position, it better be soon.
Now, in your time as a prosecutor, of course, you had to prosecute lots of drug crimes, as they were called at the time. Was it something that you got into feeling, I mean, did you drink the Kool-Aid thinking you'd be helping and taking down kingpins and then find out later that, wait a minute, reality didn't match what you were sold?
Yeah, you took my story away completely. Absolutely. In as much as I thought I was doing good, I thought I was fighting the good fight, and I was particularly keen to go up the chain and to make society a better place and take away the parasites and the bad guys, et cetera, et cetera. And I found that wasn't the reality of the situation, particularly if we're just talking about marijuana, but particularly about a marijuana prosecution. That's not what we were seeing. And that's not the reality. And people are now aware of that. So I found myself, when doing marijuana prosecution, very, very uncomfortable. And I found myself still, from a law enforcement point of view, looking around at the amount of resource, the level of talent, and I mean real talent in our investigators, and I just concluded, this is just squandered. It's absolutely a waste of resources. And I got to tell you, inside the tribe, inside the fold, there was a whole lot more of that sentiment than ever was allowed to escape to the outside.
That's pretty remarkable. And one thing that is always brought up about the United States' war on marijuana is the severe racial disparities we find. Do we find those same kind of statistics in Canada?
Not to the extent to which they are in the U.S., and I am familiar with it, but make no mistake, marijuana prosecution disproportionately disadvantages people of limited means and differentially disadvantages various ethnic groups. And when I say people of limited means, it's because money is a resource in the justice system, and if you don't have money to fight the good fight in terms of defending yourself, you wind up in a bad way the vast majority of times. So in that sense, yes, you bet there are parallels. We also don't have the same private prison incarceration machine that is in the U.S., but still we have, I think many people feel, too many people in jail, and putting people in jail for marijuana consumption was never, ever a good idea.
We're speaking with Randy Long, a speaker for Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, which has speakers all over the world. You can go to leap.cc or copsaylegalizeddrugs.com. Click on the speakers tab and you'll be able to find a speaker near you. They'll come out and speak to your Rotary Club, your Lions Club, your pep rally, whatever you want, they will come speak for you. And so, Randy, how long have you been with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition?
Oh, that's a good one. It's got to be 6 years or thereabouts. I first went to a talk at the local university here at the basically at the suggestion of one of our members of Parliament. He came, a Supreme Court judge came, and some others. I was able to hear from at the time our local president, who was a serving law enforcement officer in a nearby city. I was most impressed with the message, most impressed with the quality of the people that I've had an opportunity to work with, extremely impressed with the organization. It's a big tent organization, and I've happily been a member ever since.
Well, we're so glad that you are a member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and it's pretty remarkable what's happening now in Canada with these changes from the federal courts as well as the election, bringing in a new Liberal government. We're always looking forward to more progress and reform in Canada. The people of Canada generally supporting these reforms as well? Are they showing majority support like we've got from our Gallup polls in America?
Oh, unquestionably. I've had the opportunity to be on various radio shows and various media outlets talking with people, and we've all seen the poll results. The vast majority of people are in favor of moving forward on this. It's been that way for years. People are concerned about keeping a safe community, a positive community, and as long as we can see our way clear to maintaining that, people are very supportive of the changes that are being contemplated.
One final question for you. With the ascendancy of Donald Trump and the Republican Party in America, are you Canadians ready for an influx of American immigrants?
Well, I've got to tell you, as much as it's never a good thing for a foreigner to say too much about somebody else's politics, let me just repeat that a number of folks have said relative to Governor Walker talking about building a wall on the northern border, I've heard some expressions from Canadians up here that wall can't be built soon enough.
Well, we hope that wall doesn't end up going up. I've got a lot of Canadian visits still left on my agenda.
Russ, it was a joke, purely a joke. We love you guys. We love you. You're always welcome up here.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate your time and appreciate your service in the Canadian government, in their justice system. And are you finding more prosecutors, more people in the government themselves are supporting these reforms?
Nope. It's a matter of having to walk the walk, talk the talk, and toe that line. Our public servants are obliged to be professional and not speak to policy matters. But privately, personally, yeah, there's lots of people who are waiting for this day to come.
Oh, Randy Long, thanks so much for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show. We look forward to speaking to you again sometime soon.
Thanks, Russ.
All right, folks, stay around. We've got some more coming up for you. The Radical Rant. Looks like Oregon's recreational and medical systems are kind of merging, and I'm going to tell you why that's a good thing. Plus, in Hour 2, special live in-studio guest Ganja John is here, so get here early while I can still form sentences. Be right back after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.